Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and this is cool. I mean, this guy was on Scuba Radio a few weeks ago telling us about the history of the dive flag. And today we're going to learn about something totally new, at least to me. And that would be one of the dive sites off of Catalina Island. Take it, James. See, I told you we're going to talk more about cold water diving. So in your face. I apologize, Sam. I just, okay. I kind of went off base just a tad, but you know, I have to, I got to respond to our listenership every now and then. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand exactly.
Yes. Well, Dr. Sam Miller is my guest. He is a diving historian. Is that a fair title, you think? Maybe?
Yes, among many other things? An old diver, anyway.
Okay. And he claims to, and I've heard several people back this up, to have the largest collection of dive literature in the world.
Well, no, I have the largest library. I have a lot of literature, and I have about 2,000 books related basically to recreational diving, nothing into the 1800s, anything like that.
Okay, but, well,
and
still.
I have 13 different magazines I have bound over the years, including all the skin diver magazines.
Yeah, well, it's just a hobby that got out of control.
Absolutely wild, horrible hobby. But I started, when Skin Diver magazine started in 1951, collecting them, and it just kept on going. And I was a bibliophile, I like to read. And next thing I know, it just bloomed and blossomed, and here we are at this point in time in the diving world.
Yeah, well, now he's kind of turned into a diving historian, at least as far as I can see. I mean, because if you need to know something about what was going on in diving as far as like 20, 30, 40 years, 50 years ago, you know, Sam is definitely a go-to guy. And today, I want to dive into he sent me this little tidbit about a dive site from back in the day off of Catalina Island. It's Farnsworth Bank.
Farnsworth
Bank. So it's on the backside, or I guess that would be the west side of Catalina Island. Am I right?
On the backside, we call it, yes.
Yeah. And one of the more popular sites in Catalina, outside of the casino area. I guess that's the main place, isn't it?
Yeah, the dive park is just basic for novices and people who visit and whatever. The Farnsworth Bank would be equal to the East Coast Andrea Doria. Same sort of depths, and if you want to do them.
Right.
And sometimes some very serious currents, sometimes some very serious wave action, etc.
Yeah, and if you Google it or YouTube it, you can see videos of a lot of tech divers doing that because it is on the deeper side of recreational limits and that kind of thing. But there's some good stuff that you go check out. It looks interesting. But you were there. You were one of the first people to dive this site or actually even find it as far as from a dive standpoint. Am I right?
Well, let me explain, if I may.
Okay.
My neighbor was a fellow named Bob Rutherford, which you can also, if you check Portage Quarry, Legends of Diving, you'll see an article I wrote about him. He was the one who invented the Sea Saver signaling system. He was the one who invented the underwater signaling system. And Bob had a dive shop, and he was known to have a beer after work with some of the local divers, the abalone divers, and they kept talking about this purple coral they kept finding. And so he chatted with me and a few others. And concurrently, there is a place called Kirchhoff Marine Laboratory in Corona del Mar, Newport Beach. And they got interested, and so several occasions we went to find it. And now bear in mind, this is 1959, 58, and there was very few electronic devices. I think the depth gauge had just been invented. Or, I'm sorry, the depth finder had just been invented at that time. And we found it and said, wow, what a place, you know. And Purple Carl, we bought some up, and it was investigated and had given a name and all that sort of thing. And then concurrently, about 1960, the fellow who was a chief diver at Marineland wrote a book, Marineland Diver, which he described the Farnsworth Bank. He published a book, I think it was in May. And in June, Bob, of all things, wrote an article about rare purple coral on the backside of Catalina and published it in Skin Diver magazine. And so he said, wow, Bob, why'd you do that and all this sort of thing? And he said, well, I think we should know about it. But nobody, and then we, it didn't go dormant, but just nobody would go there.
Now, so this was, what, like fishermen found it initially and found this this purple coral, and then he said, hey, let's go check it out, kind of thing? Is
well,
that how it started?
Basically, I think the fellow who ran Marineland, oh gosh, I can't recall his name at this point in time, Marineland Diver, got right here. Well, anyway, he discovered it.
Right.
He went there for a rare weed that he wanted to harvest and said, my gosh, it's full of this purple coral.
Okay, and you can make jewelry out of it and probably God knows what else, and it seemed valuable.
No, we couldn't. It's too soft for jewelry.
Oh, so what would be the idea of bringing it up for? Just because it'd be cool or what?
Just because it's cool.
Okay, well, back in the day, you didn't know that... you know, what this stuff was, and you figured, hey, it's purple. What the heck? It must be valuable or something.
Well, yeah, exactly. And right. Bear in mind, present-time consciousness of that era versus, you know, 2015.
Right.
And the 1950s and 60s, we were told, it was beat into our head that the ocean was a bountiful gift to everybody and just take, rip, snort, and have at it.
Right.
Which we did. And as a result, a lot of things disappeared rather rapidly in California and throughout, well, basically California, because that's where it all started.
Yeah. But I will say, you know, this purple coral you're talking about, those videos I actually looked up on YouTube from Farnsworth Bank, or Farnsworth. Is it Farnsworth or Farmsworth?
Farnsworth
Bank.
Yeah.
You can still see a lot of purple coral, maybe not as big as it was back in the day. I don't know. But evidently it was conserved enough where it survived over the years, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Well, now, bear in mind, the banks is the banks. And most of the people only dive a small portion of the bank, the higher pinnacles. You go to the other areas, the real deep pinnacles, which nobody's diving, and a lot of people don't even know them, and I think there's kind of a gentleman's agreement that dive boats will not go there.
What, is more for fishermen and that kind of thing, you mean?
Well,
or what?
Yes, it's still for fishermen.
Yeah.
But
and how deep are we talking?
Well, when we went there the first time, the very first dive on Farnsworth Bank, I was president of a club called the Sea Savers. Bob had been president a year before, and I said, man, let's go dive the Farnsworth Bank. Well, I went to the dive boat fleet in San Pedro, and nobody wanted to take us there, and nobody wanted to dive there. And this was starting about June, and then I found a new charter boat captain who had the best boat in the whole fleet, a fellow named Dick Petter, and he had a boat called the Outrider. And he said, yes, I'll take you there, but I'm not taking you there during the summertime. There's too many fishermen fishing there.
Right.
And said, I'll take you in the wintertime. So I think it's like in December, first week in December of 1960, we prepared for a trip there. And we all, the reason we went, because, you know, the water was calmer, the weather was nicer. California weather can be very nice in December. And the there would be no fishermen to speak of there, because basically the yellowtail, the game fish, had moved on.
Dr. Sam Miller is our guest right now. We're talking about diving Farnsworth Bank off the backside of Catalina Island. Back in the day when they didn't know, they probably shouldn't have done that because it's way too deep and that kind of stuff. But it's a fascinating story. We're going to continue it next right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba. Scuba diver. Scuba. Scuba diver. Scuba, 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 scuba. Scuba dooba hooba hobba. Scuba. Scuba diver.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. My guest is Dr. Sam Miller. He's like a diving historian. He was diving before people knew that you shouldn't do this, that, or the other thing. And telling us about Farnsworth Bank off the backside of Catalina Island. Now, personally, I'm not familiar with the site. It may be a very popular site with the California divers, but we're based in Florida, so this is a little bit new to us. But I don't know. It might be even new for some of the California divers, because it is definitely on the technical diving side. These pinnacles on the backside of Catalina, you got to dive deep to get down to these places, I'm guessing. Is that right?
Exactly.
So how deep are you talking, to the first pinnacle or so?
We're talking about 70, 80 feet, the first pinnacle, and then it goes down from there.
All right, but down to like, what, 200 plus? Or?
Well,
you don't, it depends.
That first trip, two people hit the bottom at 240.
Okay, all right. And that was before...
That was on air, and that was not technical.
Right.
Just plain old scuba.
Well, it wasn't technical only because...
Bear in mind, they were using very crude equipment also. You know, there was no... BCs. There was no SMBs, no all the other accoutrements of modern diving.
Yeah, but they were diving down to air, Sam, and that was before you guys even realized, oh, maybe we shouldn't be doing that, I guess, isn't it?
Well, that's basically what it was, yes. The two people who went down to the bottom was Harry Vedder and Sheila Pyatt.
Yeah.
Sheila worked for Skin Diver magazine, and she was a great diver. Harry Vedder was a Nowy and L.A. County instructor. Nowy number 4, I think, is his number.
Wow, okay.
And basically, Sheila said to Harry, where are we going? He says, to the bottom. And she said, oh, okay, we're going down to 50 feet and 100 feet, you know, and then they kept on going, and she had a depth gauge of 140. It sprung a leak and everything blew to hell, and it kept on going. And the depth finder on the boat says 240.
Okay. Well, there you go. So you at least knew.
That was a different era, a different time.
Right. Before you knew better, as I said.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah,
before
but let's talk about the mechanics of the actual dive. That's what I found fascinating, because obviously you went down there, the gear failed, you didn't really know how deep you were, and so obviously you're going by the seat of your pants, but you guys are going down there to find this purple coral that you thought would be cool to bring to the surface, and I know there's one element to the story where you had like a lift bag that you had, constructed from stuff you'd picked up at a local surplus store or something.
Exactly.
Is that what I mean? And it didn't go quite as well. Explain that one a little too.
Well, everybody had their own ideas how to bring up purple coral. And
right.
Some people had sling bags they'd made up and different things. And I had a World War II duffel bag,
okay,
which I'd rigged up some rigging behind it, and I took a box that was a fruit box, but it's made out of lightweight wood, and had a weight attached to it, and I went to the bottom, got my beautiful hunk of purple coral, and chipped it all off and put it in that, and I inflated the lift bag, and it zoomed to the top like a rocket.
Yeah.
And because it was a big bag, and as it came up, everything kind of fell apart.
Yeah.
And as Ed Mossbrook, who was the first one to ever dive the reef, he said it was raining purple coral. So he grabbed a hunk as it went by, and a nice, beautiful hunk, and brought it up.
Yeah.
And that's how we got it up to the surface. We
had
all kinds of devices, but nothing was available. It was all homemade.
Hmm.
You either went to the, even our wetsuits were homemade. Good gosh, that was in 1960. The wetsuits came out in 1954.
Yeah.
And L.A. County started in 1954. Everybody was L.A. County certified, which is equal to probably a junior instructor or some darn thing in a modern world, because it was a rough, 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 difficult course.
Well, what would they make the wetsuits out of, like inner tubes and things like that from tires but from
no
back in the day?
No, what happened with the wetsuits, an interesting story within itself, certainly talking real fast. It was discovered by Hugh Bascom and Hugh Bradner, serendipitously, that the wetsuit material, which had been war surplus items, they had it was been a sheet of rubber that you would attach to the outside of gasoline tanks, on tanks, on planes, on whatever. And if a bullet went through, it would immediately seal up. It became a waterproof, self-sealing gas tank, so to speak. Well, and at Kirchhoff Rubber Company in Brea, California, they had manufactured this rubber for the government in World War II.
Okay.
Well, when they discovered that's what they were using, we discovered we could go over to Kirkhoff, and they were as happy as a lark to get rid of the wetsuit material. We would buy it for $1 a sheet, which would make a wetsuit. And then we bought some rubber cement called Black Magic, and you'd lay down, you'd trace out your body on a sheet of rubber, cut it in half, or cut it in two different pieces, glue it together with Black Magic, and you had a wetsuit.
Well, there you go.
That's simple. That's just the way it was.
Well, and just a lot of Army surplus stuff was what you had to work with back in the day.
Actually, it was Army Navy surplus.
Yeah.
And very crude equipment. Our regulators were all double hulls. They were the divers, the North Hill dive bears, things that are only U.S. divers, only things left anymore. But very, very, very crude equipment. Unbelievably crude.
Yeah. And so this is the kind of stuff you're taking down underwater and, you know, like 240 feet. To places people had never been before. So was it all about the adventure? Was it just about the fact of going to some place that no one has gone to before? Kind of the mindset back in the day when you're doing that?
Now, bear in mind, we're talking about 55 years ago.
Right.
Diving was really in its infancy. It was concentrated in Southern California. No place else, Southern California. Some in Florida, but very little. Pappy Flood was over there, and of course you had some great divers in Florida. Oh, my gosh. The Pinder brothers, Dom DeMonico, things, people of the past.
It's all left coast, east coast thing. I gotcha.
Yeah, but basically here, because what we had was a lot of aircraft manufacturers, and a lot of things was surplus, so we get a lot of stainless steel, a lot of rods, a lot of this. We had the first dive club. It was established in 1933, so we had a lot of technology, if you'll call it that.
Sam, hold the line. I'm going to carry him over one more, because this is just fascinating stuff. The history of diving is what we're learning today from Dr. Sam Miller, and we got more coming up.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg, the Dive Master. I'm on with Dr. Sam Miller. He's, we're kind of talking about the history of diving, at least from a California coast perspective. You got the whole Florida diver, you know, California diver thing in the beginning, you know, the infancy of the dive industry. And it started in California. Let's be real. That's where they kind of kicked it off with, evidently all the Army-Navy surplus stuff is what they were using initially, at least according to Sam. And but the mindset, Sam, that's what I want to get into. When you're diving place like Farnsworth Banks off the backside of Catalina Island, was it going on a mission to get purple coral? Was that the mission? Or was it like, hey, we want to do something no one's ever done before? What was the mindset back in those early days?
It was exploring something that had never been explored by recreational divers, and to grab some purple coral for decoration in the house or on the patio or something. At that time, also, a lot of people were into nautical themes on their patios.
Ah, okay. And I'm guessing a little crazy mixed in there as well. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely insane. not crazy. Totally insane. We were totally insane.
You know, I think that common thread applies to divers today. I think we have there's like a little twisted gene that
I
we have.
I think you're absolutely right.
And I say that in a, in a very admirable way. I love the fact that we share that common bond of just wanting to be a little bit slightly outside the box sometimes. That's
exactly
what makes it more, makes life worth living, doesn't it?
It sure does. It sure did and sure does.
Yes. So people are diving out there today. You ever get any reports about like what it looks like now?
Well, it has become very healthy. Number one, they're not
taking anything now.
Not taking anything. It's growing. It's got 55 years to recover. It is protected by the state. The boats are very careful about where they anchor, and they only make one dive there. We made three dives at that area that day.
Farnsworth Banks off the backside of Catalina Island. Thanks for the update, Sam. We appreciate it.
Anytime, Greg. I enjoy it.
We're going to have him on again. He's like our diving historian go-to guy.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
What keeps us from swimming away?
Rapture of the depths. If we try to go up by ourselves, we're breathing too much nitrogen.
What does that do?
Makes you giddy, makes you hallucinate, and ultimately you die.
I started out clean, but I'm jaded. Just falling in, or just breaking my skin. Can you help me? I'm bent. I'm so scared that I'll never get put back together. Keep breaking me in, and this is how we will live with you and me.
Well, I hope not. If you're following the basic rules of diving, and now we actually have some guidelines to follow that'll keep us out of trouble, unlike, Dr. Sam back in the day, you won't get bent, and you'll have a good time diving. And on the phone with me right now is somebody who's doing just that. She's getting her continuing education to make herself a safer and better diver, more competent, and maybe doing some stuff that, everybody else listening would like to do as well. I got Britt on the line. We talked to her, about a month or so ago. I haven't met her face-to-face, but I've talked to her a few times because she's been following the show and been diving in some of the places that we've been to. And we're going to check in with her right now. Britt, how are you? Welcome.
I'm well, Greg. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on the air.
Good. Now, yeah, it is kind of weird that we haven't really met face-to-face out some of the dive sites, but I show up down in South Florida and Captain Cocktail, Jeff Tarota, South Florida Diving Cocktails says, "Oh, Greg, you should have been here yesterday. Britt was here again." I mean, it's like, what's going on? I don't know. We seem to miss each other, but that's fine.
We just keep missing each other. I'm
yes.
The abominable Brittany, you know?
Okay, all right. Yeah, but you're not mythical. You're a real person, but you exist, and that's fine. And eventually our dive paths will cross. I have no doubt about it. But you've been staying in touch, following the show, and I get emails from her. She says, "Hey, Greg, you ought to talk about this," or "I got this video." And I love that stuff. Feel free to do that. Anyone who's listening and would think that they have something to contribute, email me, greg@scubaradio.com. Or even better yet, you can click on the tab, get on the air at the Scuba Radio homepage, and record a little report on your own, a little dive report. We'll play it back on the air. But Britt, let's talk about you. So you've been continuing your diving education. So last time we spoke, you were an advanced diver, I know, and you were talking about getting some more training under your belt. Where do you stand as we speak today?
Right. Yeah. Well, before I was a rescue diver when we spoke, but now
right.
I'm actually a master scuba diver. So that's the highest level that you can go on the non-professional level.
That's excellent. So rescue
yeah.
diver, and to become a PADI master scuba diver, you have to take 5 specialties. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct. So it was actually a lot of fun. I just sort of looked at, I never like planned out 5 different specialties that I wanted to do and sort of hammer them away. But instead I would go diving and I would think, I dove Vandenberg for a while and then I thought, geez, I would really like to be, rec certified just so I can drive the points home as to what I need to do. And then, I was drift diving and I was thinking, oh boy, I was getting nervous at a couple different times and I was thinking, I really should go in and I should learn exactly what I need to know so that, I can build my confidence up and I can figure out what it is that's making me nervous so I can counteract that. And it was great. And then I did search and recovery, which was a lot of fun as well. So that just teaches you anything. I mean, that's not just, going down and picking up gold bars. That is, you lost your sunglasses over the deck, and you want to go find it. And there's so much more to search and recovery than just treasure, like everyone thinks. So,
yeah, well, it's setting up a grid pattern, that kind of thing, so you're doing it effectively. you compass readings, navigation, that kind of stuff. That's good stuff. So you did wreck diver, drift diver, what, deep diver, search and recovery?
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
what? There's a fifth one I'm missing there.
Yeah, Nitrox.
Nitrox,
you know,
okay.
Standard. That card's in everybody's book, I think.
As
but,
it should be,
you know,
yes.
Obviously very important, yeah. Or should be.
So you've been just kind of doing this as you go, and not really on a set mission to become a Paddy Master scuba diver, but it just kind of evolved, or was that the mission from
day one? Yeah, it just evolved, yeah. I actually, and then I did the DEMP certificate, which was through Dan instead of through Paddy.
Yeah.
So that was a, that's sort of... connected in four ways. So you got your first aid and CPR, and
right.
then also your emergency oxygen responder, and then emergency oxygen provider, and then also the neurological assessment and the hazardous marine life provider. So basically, it's a two-day course. It's pretty extensive, but it goes through everything that you will possibly need to know on the boat. So basically, maybe if you're on the boat and, you know, the only two certified oxygen providers are the dive master and, say, the captain. Well,
right.
the captain needs to get back to the dock somehow,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, sometimes they'll ask you, is there anyone on the boat that is a doctor or a nurse? You know, if no one raises their hand, you could say, I'm not, but, you know, I do have this emergency oxygen provider card, and I would be willing to help.
That is excellent. You know, Brittany, you've obviously been very busy over the summer doing this Con Ed for your love of scuba. That's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
You are the kind of diver that I was, you know, referring to last week on the show as far as saying, you know, bettering your skills makes you a better better buddy. You are the kind of buddy everybody listening right now would love to have, someone who's continuing their education, trying to make their skills better, not necessarily to help their buddy, but to help themselves. But obviously, you're going to have more skills under your belt to be a better buddy. Was that part of the plan
sure.
as well, or are you just focused on yourself? What do you think?
No, obviously it's a little bit of both. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little vain here. But no, you know, I just also think that it's important. I remember the first time I ever went diving, I was so scared. I was so nervous, and I was just basically unconfident, and I wanted to become better at my skill, and I wanted to grow as a diver. So, you know, I started taking different courses, and now I just, it's not, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it's just, they're just pieces of plastic in your dive log book, but I don't feel that way at all. I feel like I have, you know, I have paid the money and I have gained the skill, and now I am confident to have the ability to figure out whatever is wrong in any sort of situation that, you know, I could potentially get into.
True.
And there have been situations where that has happened. You know, I was down in Miami and, well, you know, everybody's out of air. Well, now I know what to do, you know.
Yeah.
And if you come up and you're holding your shoulder and you say you have pain in your shoulder, I can assess that. And I know exactly, you know, what's going on to the point where, you know, I can either put you on oxygen or call EMS.
Right.
EMT.
Or if you don't like them, you just let them sink. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. But the thing is, you know, the more you learn, I mean, yeah, it is just a card. It means you're certified, not necessarily qualified. But, you know, while you're doing these classes and learning the skills, you are gaining a valuable experience. Why not get credit for it while you're doing it? I mean, you know,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, it's good to be able to show that you have some of those skills and you have the card to prove that you went through some of that, you know, learning experience. Now, you're based where? Right now,
yeah. For the summertime, I'm up in the Northeast, so I'm up here in Vermont right now. But there's still wonderful diving up here, so we went out on a couple lakes, and that's where I got my rescue diver training.
Okay.
And that's where I got my search and recovery, so that was fun.
All right. Well, it's getting ready to get kind of cool up there, am I right? So
I know.
You don't got a whole lot of time left.
Getting ready to migrate down.
Well, are you, or are you going to stay up there and do some ice diving or something crazy like that?
No, definitely not. No, middle of November, I go down to the Southwest Florida area. So
right.
I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Actually, they just sunk some more cement about 17 miles out. And I've been talking to a lot of my friends down there in the Collier County area, and they tell me that a lot of these reefs are starting to grow, and there's Goliath grouper inside of them now. And so,
what do you mean cements? They sunk cements off of South Florida. What?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean?
cement tunnels. They've just sunk that. And then they sunk, you know, just pieces of
rock and
pieces of cement.
Yeah.
They started doing that last year, and I was actually the first person to dive on this one site down there.
Right.
But since April. Since then, they've developed four new sites as well. So I'm really looking forward to getting down there and getting out in my backyard and checking out everything that they have to offer.
Very nice. So you're kind of like a snowbird. So you're spending the summer up in the Northeast, and then you're coming back down for the winter months down to Florida. That's what your plan is.
I am very lucky.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And you're getting the dive skills to boot. So do you got some big plans to dive outside of South Florida anytime soon? You should be on our liveaboard trip into the Turks and Caicos next week.
I know. I'm sort of looking into it, but that's something that, you know, that's like a year out kind of trip.
Yeah. You got to plan accordingly. Yes.
Not everyone can be like Greg the Dive Master, you know.
Well, they can, but just most people are wise enough to avoid that possibility. But, Britt, it's good to hear that you're doing your dive training. Stay in touch. We'll follow your progress, and we wish you the best of luck, okay?
Thanks, Greg.
All right, more coming up. Stay close.
Scuba Media.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Before you jet off to your next exotic dive destination, brush up on your scuba skills with Paddy Reactivate. The all-new Reactivate program is designed to update divers on the fundamental scuba skills and dive principles, giving you the skills you need to jump back in and dive with confidence. Show off your new Paddy replacement certification card and your refreshed skills on your trip when you reactivate. Contact your local Paddy Dive Center, resort, or instructor and get started today.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
We've got to.
Get down,
got to.
Get down,
got to.
Get down,
got to. Get
down.
Got to, got to.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to getting down, you know, as divers in many other ways. We'll be doing actually first week of November right here in our backyard of Orlando as the DEMA show, the largest diving event in the world. Big Wave Dave is on the line from the Be a Diver pool, which DEMA sponsors. Dave, how are you, man? Things good or what?
Doing great. Just got home from down a little bit south of St. Louis, doing a great event. Now I'm kind of getting everything all moved around and repaired, y'all getting all ready for the Dima show.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get into that in just a bit. Let's talk about where you were last week, because I tried to connect with you, but I believe you were out in the boonies and the cell service wasn't working. We weren't able to connect, but you were at some big event with the Be a Diver Pool doing what?
Yeah, well, we're actually at the Beaumont Scout Camp, which is about 40 minutes south of St. Louis, but guess what?
Yeah.
No service whatsoever. No okay. Facebook and no nothing. So we had a great weekend. This was all for explorers and venturing crews. So basically 14 on up to 20 years old. And they were doing all kinds of stuff. And, of course, jumping in a pool because a couple of the stores involved had posts, which basically are set up for the venturing crews to go out and diving. And guess what? I started diving at 14 with an explorer post. So it is very near to my heart.
Excellent. So, I mean, this is like a Boy Scout program you're talking about, or what?
Well, yeah, I mean, well, it's boys. It's a division of the Boy Scouts, but it's
right.
The boys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if they say they're an explorer post, it's more of like more scout-orientated, where venturing is more career-orientated, and just fun different stuff, outdoor stuff like diving or maybe rock climbing, shooting, that type of thing.
Cool. So they needed a pool where they were. Was there any lake or anything they could have dove in as well, or no?
Well, the grounds has their own pool, but because of the cost to keep it maintained after Labor Day, that was already shut down in mid-August, so they bought me in for it.
I gotcha. All right. So they got a lot of people in there to try it for the first time or just to have the experience to play around in the pool for a while in between all these other cool activities they had available to them, I guess, right?
Turning them all on. Hopefully they'll get involved with diving and find a new career somewhere,
There you go.
Be a dive instructor, be it on a dive team with the fire department or police department, whatever.
Well, Dave, we were just talking to this girl, Brittany, who's got a rescue diver certification. She's just become a PADI master diver. She's doing all this continuing education and considering going down the path of becoming a dive master or a dive instructor or both. And, you know, I told her off the air, I said, look, if that is the path you want to do, you need to go to the DEMA show, and I'm guessing maybe you had some of these type of conversations at this event you were at this past weekend. Am I right?
Well, we have all those conversations, but do keep in mind the DEMA show, it is a trade-only show.
Right.
So basically it needs to be somebody involved with a dive store or already certified a dive master or instructor.
Well, true. You already have to have that level of certification, but if you want to pursue a job in the dive industry, either go work at a dive shop, become a dive master or above on your own, and then go and network at the DEMA show. That's really how you could go get that dream job out in the middle of the Caribbean or Pacific at some resort and or on a liveaboard or something. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, we actually had one of the instructors helping out this weekend was a girl who had been teaching down at Sea Camp down in South Florida and
right.
The Keys and stuff like that. And she's looking for another job in Florida. So I said, hey, you need to come to the show on Saturday, which is the immersion day, and get out there and get some applications turned in.
Yeah. No doubt it's the best place to network if you want to get into the industry. I mean, you can accomplish so much at the DEMA show from that standpoint. But the other side of the coin is that if you are anybody who's anybody in the dive industry, you are at the show. It's the largest diving event in the world. And, of course, Big Wave Dave will be there helping out the DEMA organization. What is your role going to be this year? Are you going to be just helping out all the exhibitors and manage the show, or are they just put you wherever they need you, Dave?
Well, I'll be all over. I'll be doing set up the new product showcase. We're getting the pool up. We've got some demos set in the pool for some breath holding and some equipment demos set up in the pool where other instructors can try out different manufacturers of equipment or give their shot at holding their breath underwater.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you got some special plans, or I guess you're working on the programs right now of what exhibitors want to use the pool to showcase their new products, I guess. Am I right?
Yeah, we've got some people signed up already, and we've got the guys from the breath-holding competitions. They've got some time slotted away to do some demos and everything. So, yeah, it's all coming together.
And, of course, that will be in Orlando November 4th, I should say, Wednesday through Saturday. We're going to be there opening the show and having fun as usual. It's a cool event. This year there's a Mardi Gras theme, by the way, because the big awards party on Friday night, they're doing a whole, I don't know, Mardi Gras. Is there going to be like beads and flashing going on? Well, you know, knowing the dive industry, that
sure
usually happens
even
when there's...
beads and masks theme, and I don't know about the flashing routine. But
well, you know what?
Beads and masks.
It just depends how late in the evening it goes, is my guess. Wouldn't you agree? You think?
Whatever you say.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. But it'll be a good time. It's not only a great place to network and obviously to find out about the latest and greatest dive stuff that's going to come to the store shelves of your local dive center. It's just a fun party. You know, we've done this so many years now. For me and Dave, it's like, I don't know, it's like homecoming. Wouldn't you agree? Or a family reunion kind of thing. I love it.
Well, I would say it's homecoming for you for sure, but you just got to go right across your backyard to drive on in. But it's
yeah.
a great time. In fact, I'll be hanging down in Florida for a couple of weeks because about the week after DEMA, I'll be over in Fort Myers for the Fort Myers Boat Show.
Oh, there you go. Okay, that'll be convenient. But, you know, I've been doing it many, many years, and even though I live in Orlando, trust me, I'm getting a hotel right by the site.
Mm-hmm.
I know how these dive industry folks operate, and it's not a good run, even back and forth from my house each evening. You hear what I'm saying, Dave? Goes back to the whole beads and the flashing thing. You know, what are you going to do? Just have a blast if you're a diver, as you should. All right, Dave, thank you for the update. Appreciate it as always, my friend.
Yep, check out BeADiver.com.
Absolutely. All right, and that'll do it for this week. Till next week when we're broadcasting from the deck of the Turks and Caicos Explorer 2 Live Aboard. Remember, it's always better down where it's wetter. Safe diving, everybody.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.